Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. For he hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who hath set thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him? And the son of man that thou visitest him? Thou hast made him a little lower than the angels. Thou hast crowned him with honor and glory. Thou hast made him have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, the beast of the field, the fowl of the air, the fish of the sea, and everything that passeth through the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Thou turnest man to destruction and sayest, return, ye children of men, for 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past, or as a watch in the night. Thou carriest them away as with a flood. They are as asleep. In the morning they like the grass which groweth up. In the morning it flourisheth and groweth up. In the evening it is cut down and withereth. For we are consumed by thine anger, and by thy wrath are we troubled. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins, in the light of thy countenance. All our days are spent in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 70 years. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for we are soon cut off, and we soon fly away. Who knoweth the power of thine anger? Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. What an awesome book is the Bible, the Word of God. What a joy it is to be at Worth Baptist Church today. And I trust that the message that comes out of God's Word and out of the heart of this servant of God will be a blessing and a challenge to you. We have met not just to see each other, or to find out what we did over Christmas, or how many people came to see us, or how many turkey legs we ate, or how many dollars we spent on presents, or what we didn't get that we wanted to get. But we've come to worship him. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Open your Bible. Oh, by the way, did I tell you when we open the Bible opens the mind of God? Let's see what God's thinking about in the book of Hebrews, chapter number 11. As you're finding your place in the book of Hebrews, the 11th chapter, I should remind you again that as sure as night follows day and day follows night, God still lives. And the Bible is right. For all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. All flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. I'm going to read from that word that's settled right here on earth, in the blessed old book that we call the Bible. Don't ever outgrow your need for the Bible. Hebrews chapter number 11. I'll read beginning at verse 8 and down through verse number 10. Keep your Bible open. We'll refer to some of those verses and others within this chapter as well. Hebrews 11, beginning at verse number 8, after we pause in a moment of prayer. Would you pray with me, please? Our Father, we are indeed grateful for thy word. I pray the Holy Spirit would speak to our hearts this morning. We want to know what it's all about to make our journey through this pilgrim world and reach the other shore. Help us, I pray, to give attention to what you say in your blessed book. There be those today without the Lord Jesus, and having never tasted the heavenly gift, may they come today and trust him. Those who may have wandered and stumbled along the way, may they find renewed hope and courage and strength and forgiveness in Christ today. In his name we pray with thanksgiving. Amen. In the book of Hebrews, chapter number 11, I read verse number 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Ladies and gentlemen, Abraham was a pilgrim. Would you look at verse number 13 in this same chapter? These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed, now watch this, that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Ladies and gentlemen, I am a pilgrim. You are a pilgrim. We're just passing through. I remember growing up in my dad's church. We had a large family. There were 9 of us kids. All of us are still living. And we formed a little quartet with 2 brothers, Otis and Bob, and 1 sister, Virginia, and yours truly. I made the foursome. It's about all I made. But we used to sing a little chorus, "This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. I'm a stranger." Abraham looked for a city. Would you look back at verse number 10? For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Look with me at verse number 14 and 15 and 16 in this same chapter. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. I'm looking for a city this morning, because I read in Hebrews 13, 14, for here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. I remember a few years ago when my wife and I made a tour and a cruise in the Mediterranean world. We retraced the steps of the Apostle Paul to the seven churches of Asia Minor, and then offshore, about 30 miles, a little island called the Isle of Patmos, the Alcatraz of the Eastern world. There John, the beloved apostle, was banished. He said, for the testimony of Jesus Christ. By the way, have you paid anything for your testimony? I read in a magazine this week where a young girl, 14 years old, together with 39 adults, because they refused to renounce their faith in Jesus Christ and in this precious word, there was a picture of two soldiers, one holding the 14-year-old girl and the other shooting her dead with a rifle, and 39 other people. I said to the Sunday school class this morning, don't take for granted the price that's been paid to bring you this book. Since the days of Jesus, there have been 69 million martyrs, and most of them have been because of their faith in the Word of God and their stand for it. John was exiled on the Isle of Patmos for his testimony, for his faith in Christ. I stood where tradition says that John may have stood, in the very exact spot when he received the revelation from God concerning his son Jesus Christ. What did you see, John, as you were exiled on that lonely island of Patmos? I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he shall dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, write, for these words are faithful and true. And he said to me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. And I will give to him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. And I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. I love the city of Fort Worth, even though I live in Burleson. But I have my roots in Fort Worth. Been in this area for almost 50 years. As you know, pastored this church in Fort Worth for 35 years. But I'm telling you, my roots are not eternally in Fort Worth, Texas. My roots are in heaven. I'm looking for a new city. Abraham journeyed by faith. I read in verse 9, by faith he sojourned. I'm journeying by faith. You're journeying by faith. 2 Corinthians 5:7, Paul says, "For we walk by faith and not by sight." Abraham's journey began at Mount Moriah. There God told Abraham to go, and Abraham would have offered his only son, Isaac, on that mount. You know the story. I don't have time to relate it all, but Genesis 22, read it when you get home. Isaac said to his daddy, "Here's the wood and here's the fire, but where is the sacrifice?" When he was laying on the wood, on the altar to be sacrificed. And Abraham said, "Son, don't worry about it. God will provide himself a lamb." And he did. In the thicket, there was a ram caught. But Abraham was willing to offer his son on Mount Moriah. My journey began at Mount Calvary. At the cross where I first saw the light and the burden on my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I'm happy all the day. There God did offer his son. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Luke says in his 23rd chapter at verse 33, when they had come to the place called Calvary, there they crucified him. Peter said, "Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness." Isaiah, 750 years before Jesus was born, wrote, "Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." Paul wrote, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. We beseech you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." Abraham believed God. Genesis 15:6 says, "Abraham believed God and it was counted unto him for righteousness." You want some righteousness put on your account, start believing God. When I think about believing God, I think about the most definitive statement in the Bible about belief. It comes out of the story of Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. I'll not detail the story, but I'll tell you that when the eunuch came to the place of water, he said to Philip, "Here is water." Now remember, Philip had already preached unto him Jesus, and he'd already been saved. Baptism is not going to save you either. You go down a dry sinner, you come up a wet sinner. "Here is much water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" And Philip said to the eunuch, "If thou believest with all thine heart." And you know what the eunuch said? Hadn't been saved but 3 minutes. He said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." Listen, ladies and gentlemen, that's the most powerful 10 words in the Bible. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Yes, Abraham believed, and I believe, and you believe. Abraham reached his destination. Read it in Genesis 12. They were come from the Ur of the Chaldees by Haran, and on down, and the Bible says they came into the land of Canaan. That was his destination. I'm going to reach my destination. I have the word of Jesus on it. John 14, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Our destination, ladies and gentlemen, is heaven, the new city where God is, where Christ is, where mother and dad are, where our family members are. How many of you in the 35 years that I was your pastor did I lead to yonder cemetery and bury beneath the sods the precious form of a loved one? But that's not the end of it. He's coming again. He will receive us unto himself when the dead in Christ rise first. Then we who are alive and remain, caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort ye one another with these words. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that's my introduction, and I'm ready to start preaching. But not to worry, sometimes my introductions are longer than my messages. Often they're better than my messages. You'll decide. But I've entitled this message, A Happy Pilgrim on a Joyful Journey. Well, the title is worth your being here this morning. A Happy Pilgrim on a Joyful Journey. On my journey, I observe in the first place, I may be confounded, but I'll never be condemned. I'm confounded, to be honest with you. I'm confounded, I'm confused, I have consternation about what's happening in our nation today. I'm convinced that our nation is going in the wrong direction. It doesn't matter whether you're Republican, Democrat, Independent, or nothing. If you have one grain of sense this morning, you know that things are not right in our nation. We're standing on the brink of bankruptcy. We're trying to spend our way to prosperity. It has never been done. It can never be done. I'm concerned about the direction some of our churches are going in. They're taking the hymn books out. They're taking the Bibles out. They've gone to the contemporary music. That concerns me. That confounds me. But I'll never be condemned, because Jesus said in John 5:24, He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. I notice that on my journey I may be afflicted, but I'll never be ashamed. The psalmist said in Psalm 34:19, Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth them out of all of them. And Paul wrote in Romans 8:18, For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us. 1 Peter 4:16, Peter wrote, Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed. I see in the next place on my journey, I may be discouraged, but I'll never be defeated. Yes, there are things that discourage us. Every person in this room could stand today and say, you know, back in the year 2009, I got a little discouraged, a little disappointed, I was depressed. Everybody could testify to that. But though I am discouraged, I'll never be defeated, because Christ has overcome. He, in 1 Corinthians 15:57, Paul said, Thanks be unto God who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. As long as we have victory in him, we can never be defeated. On my journey, I may be overwhelmed, but I'll never be overcome. You know what Jesus said in John 16:23? By the way, he's the world's greatest authority. I believe every word he said. He said in John 16:33, In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Now follow the logic of this. Jesus has overcome the world. I'm in Jesus. Hey, you're ahead of me, folks. These choir members are smart. They're already ahead of me. Because I'm in Jesus, and Jesus is in me, and Jesus has overcome, It means I too have overcome. That's where I stand today. What's your stand? On my journey, I may succumb to sin, but I'll never be separated from the Savior. Would you turn with me? I want you to look at these words in Romans chapter 7. Every person in this room today can identify with what Paul said in Romans chapter 7. I'll give you time to find it. It's on page 891 in my Bible, but that probably doesn't mean a thing to you. Romans chapter number 7 at verse number 14. Please listen. Please watch the wording. Paul wrote, "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin." Now remember, this is the man that made three journeys across, missionary journeys across the world, and wrote 14 books of the New Testament. And he said, "I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would do, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Now, if I do that which I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind I myself serve the law of God. So then, with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. I'm glad that Paul didn't quit at the end of Romans 7. He carries us into Romans 8. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now, I said I may succumb to sin, but I'll never be separated from the Savior. Because in Romans 8, at verse 35, Paul says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or nakedness or famine or peril or sword? Nay, in all these things it is written, we are more than conquerors." Time out. More than conquerors? That's what he said. More than Nebuchadnezzar? Yes. More than Nabonidus? Yes. More than Belshazzar? Yes. More than Tiglath-Pileser? Yes. More than Shalmaneser? Yes. More than Sennacherib? Yes. More than Sargon? Yes. More than Alexander? Yes. More than the Caesars of Rome? Yes. More than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I can say to you this morning that I'm on this journey in answer to a mother's prayer. Next month, January 2010, I will celebrate my 59th year in the ministry. My mother went to be with the Lord when she was 29 years old, left 6 children behind. I was the youngest, 2 years old. Many times, Raymond, your mother's dying prayer was that God would call her sons to preach. And he did. Now I'm reminiscing a little while this morning. That's a privilege of an old preacher. Now you young fellows that have your day, come. This is an old man speaking. I'll soon be 78 years old. I know I don't look it, but if you got it, flaunt it. But just 2 years old, I preached my first sermon when I was 12 years old. Now that was 65 years ago. I didn't enter the ministry, but I did preach my first sermon. I was the boy wonder, 12 years old. Scared me so bad I didn't try it again until I was 18. So 59 years. I remember my growing up days in my dad's church, the Baptist Tabernacle in Danville. Charles Stanley and I were the best of friends. He's that little preacher over here in Georgia that's got a few television stations. We grew up together. He went one way and I went another upon graduation from high school. I came to Fort Worth the last part of 1950 and I enrolled in the Bible Baptist Seminary under J. Frank Norris and Louis Ensminger. I arrived in January, or rather in December of 1950. I met Helen on an elevator the first day or two I was here. I thought she was the most beautiful lady I had ever seen. And I still think so. After 59 years of marriage, I still think so. 5 months later, we were married. How lucky she is. I've been reading, I remember when I became pastor of Worth Baptist Church, I remember the first sermon I preached. God is looking for a man. Now, folks, that was 45 years ago, almost 50 years ago. But I remember Dr. Norris's ministry very vividly. I remember his coming into chapel. He was old and feeble by this time. He would give us the book of Daniel or the book of Ezekiel or the book of Isaiah, never open his Bible, give us all the dates and all the empires and all the emperors and all the rest. He was my hero. I go back once in a while and I read some of the episodes from Dr. Norris's life. I just, this last week, read some more as I was preparing this sermon. In 1941, Dr. Norris had an audience with Winston Churchill. Almost an hour their conversation went on. At the close of the conversation, Dr. Norris said to Mr. Churchill, "Mr. Churchill, my wife prays every night, 'Dear God, please bless Winston Churchill.'" And Dr. Norris said Churchill's eyes filled with tears, and he said, "I still have the same faith I received from my devoted mother." Thank God for devoted mothers. I don't have to tell you that Winston Churchill ranks as one of the greatest world leaders in history. Can I bring it a little bit closer to home? My wife and I spent 2.5 weeks with her mother in New Mexico. She suffered a stroke at the end of October. She still needs your prayers. But on Christmas Eve, I called home to retrieve my messages. We get a lot of messages on the answering machine. One of those messages was from Carol Foster. She and her husband are here this morning, faithful members of this church. And she said to me, "Dr. Barber, my son Doug needs to talk to you." He has something he has to tell you. So she left his number. I dialed his cell phone. He was up somewhere in the Northland. He's a cross-country truck driver. And he said, "You know, Brother Barber, I remember when I was young. I'm 49 years old now. When I was young, my mother brought me to church. I sat there and I heard you preach. I was under conviction. But I didn't go forward. I didn't trust Christ. In fact," he said, "I went the other route." He said, "Brother Barber, you name it, and I've done it. I've been down the road of sin. Drugs and alcohol and sex and all the rest. But 3 days ago, God saved me. And now I'm headed in another direction." I said, "Doug, you know what? You've been on my personal prayer list for years. I've called your name to God in prayer that God would do what he's done." I'm saying that to say this morning. I'm giving you his word. He said, "Dr. Barber, please tell the folks when you preach not to waste 49 years of their lives, but to give their heart to Jesus now." Maybe someone here this morning, you want to commit your life to Jesus Christ. You've never trusted him as your Savior. Or maybe you're here and you're on the journey, but you've stumbled along the way. You need some help. You need some encouragement. You need some prayer. The altar's open. We stand together, please, with our heads bowed. Brother Johnson's going to lead us in a moment. And Lord, I'm coming home. Don't wait. If you want to come right now, remember Doug said, don't put it off. Don't wait 49 years and waste them like I did. Come on now. I wonder who would say to me this morning, "Yes, preacher, I want to join you on that journey." Just step out of your seat. Maybe it's your first time here. Maybe you've been here a lot of times. I don't know. I don't know what God's saying to you this morning. But if you want to commit your life to Jesus Christ this morning, I want you to step out of your seat. Man or woman, young person, husband or wife. If you have been saved, as I said, you're on the journey but not making much progress, maybe stumbled along the way, made a few mistakes like all of us have. You need prayer, I want you to step out this morning. You want to join the church, you have a prayer burden, I want you to step out this morning. Whatever your need is, if God is speaking to your heart, let's journey together. Father, speak to all of our hearts this morning. Maybe there's a prodigal son or a prodigal daughter, a young man, a husband, a wife, a granddaddy, a grandmother, a boy, a girl, a family. I don't know, but thou knowest. I pray that you'd speak to hearts all over this congregation this morning and help them to make the journey successful as pilgrims along the way. In Jesus' name, while we sing.